As we continue our study in the book of Genesis, we're still in the 49th chapter, and we're in the midst of the prophecy given by Jacob about Joseph, and last time we got into the 24th verse. So we'd like to begin reading with verse 22 and read verse through verse 25, and this is the prophecy that Jacob gave about Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the Almighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessing of the breast and of the womb. So here we see that Joseph is described as a fruitful plant, fruitful bough, even one that's by a well that has a good supply of water, whose branches run over the wall. He also is described as one who has been sorely grieved by the archers. They shot at him. They hated him. This no doubt has reference to his brothers whenever they did what they did and eventually sold him into slavery into Egypt. So Joseph has come through those trying times, but at the present he is very fruitful. At this time, of course, he's the mighty power in Egypt. He has the power over all this grain distribution that Egypt had as they went through their time of famine. But before that was whenever the archers shot at him, when his brothers treated him so badly. But he says in verse 24, his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So Joseph came through it all. He had a bow that was stronger than these enemies had. He had arms of his hands that were strong, and they were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. The same God that Jacob served, the same God that Abraham and Isaac served, this was the God that was with Joseph during these times and gave Joseph the victory. Although there is a reference made in Genesis 48:15 to the fact that God had fed Jacob all his life unto this day, here we have the very first time that God is actually referred to as a shepherd and as a stone or a rock. So God would thus both nourish and protect Joseph. Jacob also stressed again that this was the God that was the same God as his God, the God of his fathers. He assured Joseph that God would bless him with the blessings of rain from the heavens and with water from the deep, the water flowing through the pores of the ground beneath his feet. The deep, where T-E-T-H-O-M, is a term referring to waters on or under the earth's surface. He also promised an abundance of healthful offspring of both man and animal. So Joseph is going to be blessed in every way that a person can be blessed. He has strength. He has the ability to defend himself. He has the ability to come through adversity. He has power and wealth, and he's going to have the blessings from heaven. He's going to have the waters. He's going to have the offspring of man and animal to be abundant, and he's going to have the rock-like nature and the shepherd-like nature of God to be with him. He further says in verse 26 in this blessing, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of his head of him that was separate from his brethren. So Jacob here also states that he, the father, has been blessed above, so that his blessings have prevailed above the blessings of his progenitors. He claimed that he had more blessings than Abraham and Isaac had, under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. These blessings flow as far out as the hills would reach, and they would last as long as the hills last. And he called these hills everlasting hills. And this doesn't mean that they never had an end or a beginning. They were formed after the flood, of course. But it means that they were among the most non-movable and non-changeable things that we can know. And these blessings were like that Jacob had received. So Jacob is now talking about how he's been blessed. And he says, they shall be on the head of Joseph. These blessings that Jacob had received, he's blessed above his progenitors, but then he would be blessed also on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him which was separate from his brethren. So Joseph is going to receive these same blessings. The blessings which Jacob had experienced would be showered on Joseph and his descendants. Joseph was the one separate from. And the word separate there is from the Hebrew Nazir, N-A-Z-I-R, the same word as used for Nazirite. So he was separate from his brothers and marked out for special distinction and service. So these years that he spent in separation and being in slavery and in prison in Egypt, those were years that paid off in the long run and were continuing to pay off and made him a distinct one in this whole group of nations. And these prophecies were fulfilled in the later histories of the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, especially in the tribe of Ephraim. Many of Israel's leaders were from these tribes. Joshua, Deborah, and Samuel were from Ephraim, and Gideon and Jephthah were from Manasseh. Both tribes were strong in war, and their land were fertile and productive. Jeroboam, an Ephraimite, led the rebellion which produced the divided kingdom, and the northern kingdom came to be called alternately by the names of Israel and Ephraim, as the southern kingdom was called by the name of Judah. And it's prophetically significant that Jacob's blessings centered especially on Joseph and Judah, and that these two eventually became the two dominant divisions of Israel. It is further significant that only physical blessings were promised Joseph, whereas spiritual blessings of being the ancestor of Messiah was promised Judah, in addition to physical blessings and political leadership. So if we see this great kingdom of the 12 tribes dividing into two parts, the northern part being led by Ephraim, the southern part by Judah, we can see how that here Judah and Joseph figure very prominently in this, and the prophecy about them given by Jacob lays it all out. Verse 27 gives the prophecy about the final son, Benjamin. Verse 27 says, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall devour the spoil. So Jacob prophesied that Benjamin would become as a ravening wolf, devouring the prey and dividing the spoil. This seemed like a strange forecast for a son whom Jacob especially loved, but it was both a promise and a warning. The tribe of Benjamin would be bold and strong, successful in warfare, but at the same time it might become cruel and voracious. Both attributes were later very evident in the tribe. In Judges chapters 19, 20, and 21, there is a story of a crime committed by this tribe that was unspeakably horrible. The story tells about savage justice meted out to this tribe, and as a result, the tribe of Benjamin was almost completely wiped out. They were down to 600 men, and they were in hiding, and it's a very fascinating story, but it corresponds to this prophecy talking about them being a nation that would be one like a wolf in the morning devouring the prey, and at night dividing the spoil. But also, this prophecy is fulfilled in the character of Saul, who was the first king of Israel. He was a Benjaminite, and his character was very accurately one that corresponded to Jacob's prophecy here. So that is the blessings and prophecy that Jacob has given to his sons. This concludes that. Verse 28 says, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. So Jacob here concludes the blessings to his sons, calling them prophetically the 12 tribes of Israel. Even though some of the predictions hardly sounded like blessings, they were intended indirectly to serve as such through warning his sons and their children of those traits and tendencies against which they needed especially to guard. Jacob wasn't really causing anything to happen. He wasn't saying this and his saying would make it happen. He was just prophesying and predicting what would happen. The children of Israel must have read and meditated on these sayings of Jacob many times during the centuries that followed, particularly during their bondage in Egypt and their wanderings in the wilderness. Clearly they should have proved, and probably did prove, very advantageous to them to know what these prophecies said. Now we read the last five verses of Genesis 49, verses 29 through 33. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron, the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. The promise that Jacob had gotten Joseph to give him about being buried in Canaan, he now asked from all his sons that they would bury him with his fathers back in Canaan in the cave which Abraham had purchased years ago for that purpose. Jacob had buried his first wife Leah there, and his parents and grandparents were also buried there. It was to be a testimony to all the generations to come that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had faith in God's promise that he would give the land to their seed. He insisted on being buried in that land. So with this last request, Jacob gathered up all of his remaining strength. He pulled his feet back up into the bed to lay down and then to give up his spirit to be gathered unto his people. Not merely to be buried with their bodies, but to join them in their life beyond the grave, awaiting the coming of Messiah and the great resurrection day. So there Jacob is with all of the righteous dead, right along with Abraham, and waiting for the Messiah to come the second time now, and the great resurrection day, that great time of great blessing, a time of great benefit, when we're going to be so glorified in the coming of the Lord. And we today, thousands of years later, who are followers of this same God, look forward to this same benefit that Jacob had, as we will eventually be gathered unto our people. That concludes the 49th chapter of Genesis.